Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. For those joining us online, either live or late at a later date, it's good to have you joining with us. If you stumbled across us by accident, we are the congregation of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, gathered for worship on this, the 21st day of August in 2002 on a lovely summer's day. As we come this morning for worship, just a reminder of the announcements that you saw before you on the screen. Most notably, we are collecting school supplies for Baldwin House, which is our local women's shelter for children who may be transitioning through there and in need of the stuff to get started in the school year, or those who may be coming in throughout the year who haven't been able to bring their school stuff with them and therefore need to kind of restart and refresh. So please remember that. I'm hoping about midweek this week I will take what we have here at the church over to Baldwin House. So if you can have it in by kind of Monday, Tuesday, that would be great. But if it's a little bit later, that's fine too. We can always make two trips because it's always something that is well needed. We welcome Brian Hublett to the organ this morning. Brian is our organist for the morning, and it's always a pleasure to have Brian sharing his talents with us in worship. And we have a whole lot of special events in the lives of members of the congregation. So it's Hans's birthday today, so happy birthday to Hans. 29 again, eh, Hans? And it's also Tim, our custodian, his birthday is coming up on Thursday. So if you run into Tim on the way out of the building this morning, do wish him a happy birthday for later in the week. Fred and Johnine Rennie are celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. So a very happy anniversary to Fred and Johnine. And Joop and Fleur are celebrating their 65th. Wedding anniversary. So a congratulations to them too. I'll give you a wave, but you're right here. So there are flowers here special for Joop and Fleur. On the communion table this morning, and don't forget to take them home afterwards. And there's cake afterwards for all of these great celebrations that we have. So do plan to stay for a time of brief fellowship and a piece of cake. I said to Tim this morning, I celebrate my birthday twice a year because I know it's a day you're going to get cake, and the day without cake is a sad day. So please do stay for a piece of cake this morning. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear on the screens before you. Oops, before we do the call to worship, we light the Christ candle. It's a visible sign and a reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world, and that through him we drive away the darkness that sometimes can gather around us. The call to worship will appear on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. God makes the sun rise and set. Our God is faithful. From generation to generation. God makes summer and winter come and go. God is our faithful from generation to generation. God helps plants grow and flowers bloom. Our God is faithful from generation to generation. God gives us food to eat, places to live, and people to love us. Our God is faithful. From generation to generation. God is always with us. Our God is faithful from generation to generation. God keeps his promises to us. Our God is faithful from generation to generation. Let us praise our faithful God this day. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in giving us dominion over things on earth, you made us co-workers in your creation. Give us wisdom and reverence to use the resources of nature so that no one may suffer from our abuse of them, and that generations yet to come may continue to praise you for your bounty. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning, it will appear before you on the screen, "Who Made the Earth and the Heavens?" The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens.
Who made the earth and the heaven? Mighty hand, who made the man and the woman? Awesome hand, who made the day and tomorrow? A loving hand, who's got the world in mighty hands? Who made the stars and the children? Mighty hand, who made the stream and the salmon? Awesome hand, who made the lamb and the lion? Loving hand, who's got the world in mighty hands? Who made the swan and the swallow? Mighty hand, who made the wind and the willow? Awesome hand, who made today and tomorrow? Loving hand, who's got the whole world in mighty hands? Who sent the storm and the thunder? Mighty hand, who sent the flood and the fire? Awesome hand, sent the dove and the rainbow? Loving hand, who's got the world in mighty hands? Who loved the man and the woman? Mighty hand, who sent the lamb and the lion? Awesome hand, who makes a new earth and heaven? Loving hand, who's got the world in mighty hands? You've got the whole world, mighty God. You've got the whole world, mighty God. You've got the whole world, loving God. You've got the whole.
Please be seated. When humans deface God's image, the whole world suffers. We abuse the creation or idolize it. We are estranged from our Creator, from our neighbor, from our true selves, and from all that God has made. Acknowledging these realities, let us come before God confessing our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Creator God, we confess that all too often we have ignored and denied your lordship of the land entrusted to us. By assuming the right to do with it as we please, by taking more from it than we have returned to it, by taking for granted its productivity, by denying justice to many who have labored on the land, by wanting food for less than it costs to produce. We confess that material values rather than kingdom realities have often determined our relationships. We have indulged our appetites with little consideration for others. We have been more interested in our neighbor's land than in our neighbor's. We have harbored bitterness and resentments because of economic problems. We are not reconciled to some who have hurt us, even members of your body. Lord of the church, have mercy on us. grant us peace with you and with each other in Christ. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel about our life in Christ. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Hear the good news of the gospel about all creation. In God, we are being renewed, restored, and forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. I brought up the box with some of the school supplies this morning, and we've been collecting, as we mentioned in the announcement, some backpacks and some lunch boxes and all kinds of goodies and things in there for those who may be in need of them at Baldwin House. So we will celebrate your generosity this morning, and if a few more come in afterwards, trust me, we've celebrated them too. But it's always a wonderful thing as we're getting ready to go back to school. I know it's a tough thing to say, especially for the young people. Going back to school is a mixed blessing. I'm not sure I was ever really excited about going back to school, but I was always excited about the stuff that goes in the bag, right? Fresh pencils that have been sharpened for the first time, an eraser that has never been used, a brand new package of crayons or colored pencils, especially when you were younger and it was crayons, right? Because over the year they get broken, but the brand new package that you take to school, it was just the best thing ever. And so I think we need to remind ourselves of just that feeling of joy that can come from small things as we consider our generosity and how we can help others who find themselves in need. So we do kind of thank everyone who dropped off of their school supplies this week, and for those who may have some things to drop off in the week to come. All will be gladly received here, and all will be cherished by young people who have those new things for the first time. We'll pause for a moment of prayer of thanksgiving for all that we have done so far. Gracious God, we thank you that you have given us the gift of wisdom and intellect and knowledge, that we can grow in our understanding of the world and of all the people in it. We thank you for the opportunity to go to school and for the relationships that are built there and for all that we learn. We pray that you will bless these supplies and the children who will receive them. May they know that they are loved, and may they grow in wisdom and knowledge each day as they use them. May they come to explore the mystery and the wonder of the world you have created. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's continue with our prayer for illumination this morning. Lord God, at the beginning of time your Spirit moved over the waters. So send your Spirit to us now to open our hearts and minds to receive the recreating power of your word. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
The reading comes from the Old Testament, book of Genesis, chapter 2, reading verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The second reading is responsive from the Old Testament, Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The third reading comes from the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, reading verses 9 to 18. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. The last reading is from the New Testament, John chapter 3, reading verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our hymn is, This is My Father's World. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
This is my Father's world, and let me not forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Savior's word. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Life without boundaries. As we continue to explore through this series of sermons the challenges of climate change and the environment in a changing world, we remain this week in Genesis. We'll leave Genesis next week, but for this week we remain there for just one more week. We read this morning the continuation of the creation story that we heard last weekend. Creation leads to temptation. How quickly, it seems, Adam and Eve failed to live up to the command that God gave to them last week, the command to tend the garden and to care for the earth. In the creation story, you know, we're presented with this image of abundance. God called all things into being. And as we read last week, God blesses the land with these four great rivers of the earth that water all of the corners of the earth. And Adam and Eve are placed in the center of it. All of it is theirs. Imagine what the splendor of that first creation must have been like, and the richness of variety that had been given to humanity. There's only one prohibition. In all of the goodness in the garden that God has created, God only draws a boundary around one thing. Adam and Eve are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for God warns that on that day they will surely die. Think of it. Whatever is your favorite thing to eat. Bananas and strawberries, peaches. Lettuce, okra, kale. Potatoes, rice, wheat. Everything, even food that we have never ever tasted, is given to Adam and Eve. Everything, the fruit of every plant and every tree, except for one. It's funny, isn't it? We can have so much, and yet we always long for that which we're told, don't touch that. It's probably easiest seen in children. And they become our teachers sometimes, right? Tell a child not to do something, and what's the first thing they do? The thing you told them not to. It is as if some siren, inaudible siren song sings for them as soon as they hear that word, no. And in our text today, it tells us that Eve is tempted by that siren song. Almost as soon as God has given them so much, everything, and Adam is tempted along with her. What is their temptation? To transgress the boundary. To eat the forbidden fruit. To be like God. Right? That's what the serpent says. Listen again to verse 4 of that reading from Genesis. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. The great temptation of Genesis chapter 3 is the temptation of humanity to usurp the power of God, to claim all of creation as our own, and to act as if we are gods unto ourselves, and that the divine no longer has sway. As we reflect upon the results of the human use of the environment, it's clear that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't quite as good as we thought it was going to be. It maybe gave us knowledge, but that knowledge seems incomplete, or perhaps just too much for us to bear. There is a fine line between the care of creation, which God instructed Adam to tend to, and the exploitation of creation. Back when we were living in Saskatchewan, we used to visit family members, a cousin of Colleen's who was an engineer, a geological engineer in the oil industry. And he noted for us at the time, you know, we talk about various things. Now, remember, this is when gas was 39 cents a liter, all right? That's a bad thing to say on a day like today. It was 39 cents a liter. It used to go down to 37, so we'd wait to fill up. But in reflecting upon, you know, that industry, which was always fun to talk to somebody who was in a field completely different, he used to say, you know, the tar sands are there, but it's just not worth it. It will cost more to produce and extract than it will to sell at 39 cents a liter. Gas has to at least hit, I think his magic mark was 50 cents, before they would make any money from the tar sands in Alberta. There's always a boundary. Whether it be the boundary of the wisdom that God gave in setting up and creating the earth, or the economic boundary of the exploitation of resource that we deal with all the time. It says, it's just not worth it right now. And we continue to see that being a point of debate in even up into the present day. Because of the fact that the oil that is extracted from the tar sands in Alberta is far more difficult to refine than petrochemicals extracted from the ground in other places in the world, it sells on the world market at a much lower rate. And so it still keeps bottoming out to the point where it's not really worth it. It's just one example of kind of some of those challenges that we face, some of that imperfect knowledge that we have. And that imperfect knowledge that we have always has unintended consequences, doesn't it? Always has something that we weren't quite thinking about. If you were reading the news this past week, they have the tailings in northern Alberta around the oil sands have become so, there's so much of them that now they're thinking of letting some of them out into the rivers to run off to wherever they run. An unintended little consequence. As we look at climate change all around us, there are things that are happening that we don't even think about, do we? If you listening to the news and to a radio program that I listen to fairly frequently, last week they were doing a whole week on water in the United States, and One of the things that they started talking about one day was sea level and ports. We've all talked about the fact that ice is melting around the world at the poles, that sea level is probably going to rise. And that's a bad thing for those of us who come from coastal communities and small places. For St. George, New Brunswick, and for Prince Edward Island, our feet might get wet the next time we go home, Gail. Those are the concerns that we have, and those we get. But here was an interesting fact that I never thought about before. Somebody called in and reported that already the United States Navy is starting to look for alternatives to Naval Station Norfolk, Virginia. Naval Station Norfolk, Virginia is the home of the United States Atlantic Fleet. And it is the largest naval establishment in the world. But they're starting to look at where it's going to be next, and abandoning Norfolk, Virginia, because when the tide rises, all of that infrastructure will be changed as well and will no longer be fit for purpose. What will a rising seas in our world mean for all of the ports that we depend upon for the movement of goods around this world? We've been talking over the last 6 months or something about supply chain issues, right? Imagine what will happen if every port is faced with that challenge. Or, alternatively, a lot of has been in the news recently about the Colorado River system that runs through most of the western United States. And the water levels in particular in a place called Lake Mead. Lake Mead is one of the two reservoirs on the Colorado River system in the western U.S. And this year alone it has dropped 25 feet. With dropping water levels in the reservoirs along the western United States, they are nearing the point where the input chutes, where they bring water in so that it can go through hydroelectric dams and generate electricity before it continues on downstream, those intake valves will soon be above the line of the water. And they will have to pump water through mechanical means to get it to the dam so that the dam can remain operational and generate electricity for millions of people in the western United States. When we think about climate change from time to time, we hear about rising sea levels or this or that or a little bit drier summers, and we think, oh, well, that's not too bad. But then you start thinking about these unintended consequences, these down-the-line implications of what we are doing to the planet. And all of a sudden, it becomes a staggering reality. Dr. Shirley Guthrie, who I quote from time to time. Shirley Guthrie is a long-term professor of systematic theology at Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. He was also the author of my systematic theology textbook, so that's why I quote him a lot. But he notes about creation and our creation as people within the relationship that we share with God. He notes that being created in the image of God meant that human life was created to live in community with God and with others. You can't reference back to being created in the image without being connected in some way, right? And so, at our very basic level, we are created to live in relationship with God and with others. And so one of the implications of this story from Genesis, where Adam and Eve seek to become God-like themselves, is that they destroy that bond of community, that thing that knits us to God and to others. As we think about climate change and all of its implications, sometimes it's easy to think, well, I think we're okay. If you look at there are maps. If you want a depressing day, you can look at the maps. The map for us is pretty good. As water levels rise over the next number of years, Cornwall is in a perfect place, I think, at the last time I looked at the map. Nothing's going to happen that's going to be too earth-shattering for us. But that can never be our cup of cold comfort. Because the reality is it will be incredibly earth-shattering for people in other places in our world. Prince Edward Island, my home province, for those who may be joining and don't know that, is only 550 feet above sea level at its highest point. I drove over that spot just a couple of weeks ago. So much of the rest of it is very low down, close to sea level itself. All of those places that we love to go, if you love to go to PEI, if you travel to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick or other island communities around the world, if you enjoy South Florida, if that's where you go for your winter break, those places may not exist. But more importantly, the people who live there may not be there by the end of this century is the thumbtack in the wall that we seem to be using right now. By the end of this century, Miami starts to look more like Miami Beach becomes Miami Ocean, and other places like that. So as we think about issues of climate change, we have to broaden our perspectives and pull it out of the me and my, what is the effect to me, and think more broadly about what is the effect of the world. You know, I chose those readings from Romans and from John chapter 3 because they both speak to the fact that God's great plan of salvation isn't just for you as an individual or me as an individual, but it's for us as a community, and it is for the world. God so loved not humanity. God so loved the world that God sent his only beloved Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through us. You see what I'm doing, right? It's a much, the God's great plan of salvation that we come each day and each week and celebrate, that we read in our daily scriptures, is more than just me and you, although it's about you and me, certainly. But it is about God's plan to reclaim and change our world, to restore it to what it was before great temptation and the fall. So as we read things in the newspaper, as we hear things on the radio about climate change, and we try to think about, well, what does that really mean for me? Think too about what does that really mean for the world that God created and the world that God loves. Listen with your ears wide open. And then we can start to make changes to preserve the wonder and the glory that God has given us in this creation. Thanks be to God for his love to us. Amen. as people of faith, we are encouraged to be faithful stewards. Stewards of our time, of our talent, and of our financial resources. So that our treasure will be in heaven and our giving will be pleasing unto God. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings to God. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to you in service and dedicate our lives to the care and and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. The heavens declare your glory, great and gracious God. We thank you, creating God, for the works of your hands, for the moon and the stars, for the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea. We are astonished by your diversity and your abundance. We thank you that you have crowned us with glory and honor and for making us rulers over the works of your hands. Help us to care for your creation. May we respect the land and animals as we use resources carefully and gratefully. We thank you too, God our Father, for creating humanity in your image, for knitting us together in our mother's wombs. Thank you for knowing us so intimately that you know when a hair falls from our heads. May our love for others reflect your love for us. We pray for the world around as it languishes with climate change. Give to our leaders the wisdom to be able to see the challenge that lies before us and grant them boldness to address the issues. We pray for those who are in need in our community. Help us to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless. We pray for those who suffer from mental health issues and those with addictions, that they might be supported in their journey of healing and recovery. We pray for the sick, those who suffer with chronic pain or debilitating weakness, and for those who are in hospital this day. Help us to support the sick and to comfort the lonely in their hour of need. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to make known your redeeming love in this world. Until the day that he comes again, keep us steadfast in prayer as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens, and it can also be found on number 635 in the Book of Praise. May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all goodness and growth, pour his blessing upon you and all things that he has created. And may you know that you have been blessed by God, and that God blesses you through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be created, redeemed, and sustained for the work of the kingdom of God. Amen.